Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Good morning. Welcome. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill, a show that takes, as the introduction said, an expansive view on creativity because we want you to construct your own understanding, the understanding of what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial and innovative, the understanding that works best for you in all of your myriad situations. One way we do that is by getting some really great guests in here with you, and we've got a great guest today. I'm speaking to somebody in Dublin, Ireland, and it's Vlad Glavano. Vlad is a full professor of at the School of Psychology at Dublin City University. He's also an adjunct professor at the Center of Science and Learning and Technology at Bergen University. Listen to these expertises, folks. I'm just so excited about this list. He has expertise in areas related to creativity, imagination, wonder, collaboration, culture, technology, and here we go. He's got expertise in possibility studies. He's the founder and president of the Possibility Studies Network and editor-in-chief of the Possibility Studies Society. Vlad, thanks so much for joining us. Boy, this is going to be fun. What do you want to add to your introduction to make sure the folks have a good feel for who we're listening to this morning?
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Carl. It's great to be here and to chat with you. What can I say? I mean, I'm in love with creativity. I think your listeners are as well. So I'm curious how the conversation will unfold.
Well, we've known each other only a short time, but we immediately brought smiles to each other's faces, I sense, because we had this common ground understanding that creativity is just ubiquitous, right? It's universal. I know how I came to that understanding. How did you find that this was so?
Well, you know, for me, it was almost an act of rebellion to to promote this view, because when I entered the field, so I'm a psychologist by training, as you said, and we do some special and unique things with creativity in psychology. Generally, I adopt a more transdisciplinary view, which is, I think, very much in line with your perspective as well and on this show. So I think we often get so much focus on the highest level of creative expertise. And for me, when I was doing my PhD back in the day in London at the time, I chose crafts and, you know, painting eggs, decorating Easter eggs and things like that. So things that people wouldn't commonly maybe think of as creative. So it was an act of defiance almost to say, look, creativity is not just the signed works of great people, but it is absolutely in the everyday. It is in how we use our bodies and how we engage with tradition and how we go about our daily life, you know, which is very empowering, actually. So ever since those days, I am highly committed to recognizing, acknowledging, and kind of trying to cultivate creativity everywhere and in everyone.
Well, one of the directions you've taken it that I hadn't ever considered in my own ruminations on creativity was the cultural aspects of it, right? Exploring creativity within a particular cultural environment. Do you have any fun stuff that you can share with us about that?
Well, I think one of the fun ones that I start with when I talk to my students and others about culture and creativity is just to make us pause for a second and think, what do we assume culture is and what do you assume creativity is? And very often people will have these definitions that actually make these opposites. So culture for many is what is shared, what we have in common. Creativity is what is unique, what makes us, you know, distinguished and distinguishable from others. So we often tend to think to be creative, you need to step outside of your culture and to be that different person. But that's actually not the case. I mean, look at cultures everywhere. Look at the objects, the language we use, you know, the words we use. It is always evolving. It is always changing. There is nothing like an uncreative, dead culture, or rather it would be a dead culture if it was uncreative. Equally, there is nothing in creativity that doesn't belong to a cultural universe. Yeah. I mean, if I am to challenge our listeners to think about the most unique alien ever, we're not gonna, you know, make a commercial for specific movies, but our minds will go to those culturally constructed aliens or just nature in general. We cannot fully step outside of that, but within the huge box of culture and cultures in plural, there is so much we do creatively.
That's wonderful. The emergent quality is what I'm hearing you talk about, right? There's always a newness emerging, and there's ramifications, right, to that, right? There's got to be responses to that new emergent quality within a culture.
And it is how things go on because of emergence. Like, again, one of my decorated eggs' favorite lines from a craftswoman who was making them. You know, a lot of people think you have to make them identical. And there is some repetition and there is some identity, you know, in the way people would decorate. But she said, it is harder for me not to change anything. And if you think about the depth of that line, you know, it would be constraining to the human spirit to keep things absolutely the same. By nature, we add and change, and we adapt to our changing context. So, yes.
Well, that change is an interesting concept, because when I talk to people about this, an idea, they'll shoot it down because they'll say, well, people just don't like to change. And I understand what they mean by that, but that doesn't quite capture my understanding of folks. I find that we are changing, right? We can't help it. We've got to be changing. Right. Are we mindful of it is the issue.
Well, that's a beautiful observation. Absolutely. We have different relationships to change. And you know what? People have different relationships to creativity. I also, you know, think and teach about this ambivalence towards creativity and creative people. That's why sometimes culturally in different cultures or just in different contexts, you know, people are a bit afraid of some who are too creative. Right. You know, we know examples, and we know historically, you know, very creative people have sometimes suffered. So there is also this other side of the coin. As a species, though, although we do have this preservation kind of instinct, and we do prefer on the whole, I think cognitively we're very much into familiarity and predictability that helps us adapt. The success we have, and the success of life in general, I would go even beyond human beings, is actually engaging with change and novelty. If we didn't have that part, you know, it's just a matter of balance and almost like recognizing and reflecting on our relationship to things.
Perfect. I love that. I love that. I don't know that I've said this on this show before, and I'm not a religious man, but isn't it true that all three of the monotheistic religions, they all call upon us to be co-creators, right? They all are calling on, I think all of the sacred texts of those three religions, all at one point or other, at some place, call upon us to be co-creators, to help complete creation.
I mean, this is such a fascinating story. I'm not an expert in religion either, but I will, you know, for the purpose of this, kind of go with you and say that indeed, in all big religions, I think what people recognize is that there is an element of spirituality within them. And that element goes back to the power of creation in some ways. I mean, we know that many of the sacred books start, well, I speak more for Christianity here that I know more of, it starts with the Genesis, right? So talking about generative and Genesis and beginning. And I think when we look at the image of God or gods or whatever people's belief might be, you know, transcendental things into humans, it is that generativity that we actually appreciate, see, or recognize, or we should.
Beautiful. That's a great place to stop on this first segment of our show, folks. We're going to come on back with Vlad for two more segments. So you've heard some wonderful stuff here. Come on back. There's more to come. Thank you.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius. I'm Carl. I'm here with Vlad. We've been talking about creativity. We've been talking about all the different aspects and all the different positions and perspectives that he takes on creativity. And during the break, we said the next place we got to go to some of the wonderful things that Vlad is going to say about wonder and about imagination. So I'm imagining you're going to say some great things about wonder.
Well, let's see, right? It's always like in the doing. But yeah, no, I am in love with wonder. I published this book some time ago on wonder the extraordinary power of an ordinary experience. And I truly and firmly believe in the title to this day, which is that we do wonder a lot, but we don't even realize how much we wonder. And that really opens up so many possibilities in our lives, because in wonder, we bracket, even temporarily, what we think we know. And we go back here, I think, to what you said about change, you know, and the resistance to change and everything. Because we often get stuck mentally, and not only mentally, on these notions and assumptions. And there are some processes that help us break away. And I think wonder is one of them.
I teach a strategic ready, fire, aim step of wondering while wandering.
Ooh, I like that. Yes.
Just wondering while wandering.
Whatever version helps you just move around mentally, physically, you know, psychologically. Yeah.
I like that one. And I also, I need to remember who said this, but maybe you'll recognize the quote, "The beginning of wisdom is wonder."
Oh, it's also in my book.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like those people, but yes, it's Socrates, isn't it? The philosophy.
Beginning of wisdom is
nowhere
wonder.
Nowhere else but in wonder. So yeah. Philosophia, the love for wisdom, yeah?
Yeah, and then that wonder, of course, so very often is going to be dancing with your imagination. Let's talk a little bit about imagination, isn't it? It's just an interesting topic.
I'm asked often about that because people imagine creativity and imagination are either the same thing or imagination is a version of creativity, and they are very, very connected. I think it's fair to say that imagination for many takes place mostly kind of in our minds, but of course connected to the world, as we said about creativity, to culture and places and people and so on. And creativity has to do a lot with the doing or making, right? You express ideas, you create, you put together, you craft things. But of course that is powered by wondering imagination, right? And what I really love about imagination, that kind of connecting it to wonder, which is an engine of imagining as well, it's this subversive quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the beginning of imagination and creativity is in pretend play. And when we pretend, we again look at the world as if it was different. And that is such a superpower, I would say, that we all have. And, you know, for some, it's very dangerous as well, because it allows people to see that the world can indeed be different.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. It we're one of the places where we want to show our imagination is in a political imagination, right? Certainly need to bring more imagination to how we're thinking about politics, because as you just pointed
Absolutely.
Out, we just believe that's how it has to be.
Yeah, I think that's, and I'm a huge admirer and researcher of political imagination in particular, actually on social media and other spaces and young people, but not only, and activism, because I think, you know, we often think of imagination and creativity as the arts, which is part of it, and
for
art
sure.
is very political, or science, and science sadly, you know, it has this objectivity idea that means complete detachment, but nothing is really fully detached, is it, from politics and society and just human life. But then there is the domain of politics and everyday life and just community and living together. There is a huge area of creativity. It's a creative product.
Yes.
We need all our imagination to
yes.
live together, and especially harmoniously, which is a challenge.
Well, one way that I talk to folks when I'm in a workshop with folks is when we get to imagination, I talk about the importance. One way that I can imagine that you can feed your imagination is by being intentionally sensual, right? Really opening yourself up to how your mind and your body is always absorbing all of these inputs. But now let's be intentional about it, right? Because that's going to feed your subconscious and your imaginative powers.
Yeah, that's a superpower. You know, when you grow into your own superpower, absolutely.
So imagination, wonder, what do you do to fuel yourself, right? To get yourself into that wondrous state. Do you have any particular tip that you can share with folks that says, here's how I trigger my imaginative mind?
Well, to be honest with you, I like to practice, sometimes something akin to mindfulness, sometimes to ground myself into the moment, which is, again, maybe people will find it counterintuitive because imagination often takes you away. But there is so much to recognize in the here and now. You know, the possible begins in the here and now. So I think often I like to just ground myself into the beautiful views of nature or just looking around, you know, at my kids or people around. And also writing. I do like maybe even beyond academic writing. Storytelling is just such a vehicle for human creativity and imagination. And you don't have to be a writer, and I certainly don't pretend I'm necessarily a writer, but just the way we craft stories, it's the demonstration of that, right? And we do it daily.
Story. Boy, next time I have you on the show, we'll spend the whole show talking about the importance of story. So, folks, we're going to have Vlad for one more segment. And in fact, he just said he's not much of a writer. We're going to talk about his books when he comes back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. This is our last segment of Exploring Your Creative Genius today. I'm here with Vlad Glavino, who has just been blowing my mind about some wonderful insights about creativity. I'm eager to get back in touch with him after the show is over to explore more. So I said when we came back, we're going to have Vlad talk about his books. But first of all, I want to hear him talk about the work that he's doing in the field of possibility studies. That sure has captured my imagination.
Yeah, well, it's meant to, right? With such a provocative name. But yeah, thanks so much. It's work that I'm doing with a big community of people, researchers, practitioners, you know, professionals of all kinds from across many, many countries. And we're all excited about the possible. And I think in many ways, that's the heart of why I'm interested in creativity and imagination and wonder and the rest. And the best way to describe it, I often use this very organic metaphor of the forest, right? There is a big forest out there, and I used to be on the creativity tree, which I still love, and it's my home, the creativity tree, and it is big and it has so many branches, and I'm kind of on the sociocultural branch of that tree, if you want to imagine me there. But that tree lives in a forest, and that forest has agency, imagination, improvisation, counterfactuals, anticipation, utopias, dystopia, serendipity, wonder, curiosity, awe. And I can, you know, fill up the whole forest and the whole time with that. But just to say that there are so many literatures and interests that people engage in from many disciplines, and we rarely get to talk to each other, break down those silos and see what really brings us together, which is what we started with, right? Change, generativity, novelty, transformation, human life, and more than human life, you know, and how things happen. So that is possibility studies. And it's a really open invitation for anyone interested to join in. Just Googling that, you're going to find the association. We have annual conferences, and it's very open. I mean, how else could it be, right? It would betray its own ethos.
Am I right, Vlad, that you have an summer-long, ongoing online A Zoom program going on so that people could sit on it?
Yeah, so anyone interested, we have a seminar series. Today we did, just before, anyway, depending on when you hear this, but we have a day a week where we meet for just an hour and a half, and we change time so that we can catch anyone from, you know, California to Australia, let's say. So we alternate times, and you just register for it and show up and listen and contribute to those seminars, seminars.
Well, Vlad, what the listeners know is that the following Wednesday from this show, I will, when your show is then posted online, I will include a brief text overview. And so I will include in that text overview, I'm talking to the listeners as much as I am to you right now, I will include in that brief text overview all the contact information that you would like them to have about how they can plug into this
Brilliant.
Network. Okay?
That's great.
So that'll be up there on Wednesday. So, and I'm going to start sitting in on these things.
I would love to.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. So we're going to have you come back and do a whole show on possibility studies. But in the last couple of minutes that we've got, let's talk about your book or your books. Ooh. Please.
I do have some academic books that I'm happy to share with anyone. If anyone wants to contact me, they're on creativity and wonder and the possible and all things like that. But I do have a novel. I said I'm not a writer, and you know I struggle with these identities. The novel is called The Wish Thief, and it came out. It's self-published. It came out a year and a bit ago. And I had amazingly talented Dana P. Rowe do an audiobook for it that is more recent. Actually, I'm so excited. And it is a novel about wish making, and it's a fantasy world because, of course, fantasy. But it is a way that I guess I translated some of this interest into a literary form, whereby I'm thinking about the power and the consequences of wishing, desiring, hoping, and anticipating, and creating.
Nice, very nice. And somebody on that's listening might have recognized Dana's name, Dana Rowe, because he was a guest with James Kaufman a while back. Folks, Dana was the gentleman who was here with James Kaufman talking about their new book. Let's see if I can get it right. Creativity Lessons from Broadway musical characters, something very much like that.
You see how small and yet big and vast the creativity world is. Absolutely.
So Dana's the voice talent on Vlad's book, and Dana's got a wonderful, wonderful voice. He just nails the reading of this book. And so in that text introduction to this radio show, Vlad, I'll also include information about how folks can find the book. And folks, you're going to hear Vlad's voice again. During one of the breaks, I said, let's make this a regular, and he seemed to be quite pleased with that. Vlad, you got about 15 seconds. Any last goodbyes?
I just want to say, you know, just think, embrace your creativity and surprise yourself about where you find it.
Surprise yourself. Yes. Underscore that one more time for us. Big surprises.
Surprise yourself as where you find your creativity, because you know that's the challenge I try to set up for myself also every day.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, folks, enjoy the rest of your day. Vlad's show will be just a teaser for you're going to hear his voice again and again. And Vlad, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Carl. Thanks.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.